CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The U.S. economy, the global economy, the question of recovery from the pandemic, at the same time the war in Europe, the threats in Asia, and the interest rates around the world. What does this mean right now for our relationship with our trading partners and also the immediate forecasts for the recovery? We have information from the Wall Street Journal. U.S. supplier prices rose 6% in January from a year earlier. A sign, says the journal, of stillborn inflation pressures in the economy. I welcome Chris Riegel. This is the Scholar Report, Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. Because Chris's endeavor is to look at all of our trading partners, all of our continents, recovering from the pandemic, but also aware of the fact that there are unknowns. One of them is that the U.S. employment continues very strong, very strong. The number of jobs available, very high. Unemployment claims lower each week. The number of jobs reported in January, you will all recall, was more than 500,000 added. The retail sales number in the United States was very strong at 3% in January. And so we're looking at a picture of neither good nor bad, but mixed opinion, what some of wags on Wall Street call a rolling recession. Not altogether like the old 20th century when tens of thousands were laid off, but in fact, sector by sector and a partner by partner. Chris, I start in China as China is said to be reopening after the COVID zero, after the troubles. However, the reopen was interrupted by the balloon episode that is still not complete. We know that the first balloon shot down off South Carolina is associated with surveillance, especially because it lingered, we're told, over the ICBM missile base in Montana, crossed over Nebraska, where Strategic Air Command is located, and then passed over Missouri, where the B-2 bomber fleet is located, suggestive, of course, of surveillance. Number 2, 3, and 4 are not confirmed, so we set those aside. The episode, however, interrupted an intention of the Biden administration to negotiate in some fashion with China about the protectionism episodes of these last months and weeks, and also the concern about China as a bad actor. You can see China. You know colleagues who have businesses in China. So the word reopen, does that suit China now? Is China hesitating? Is unemployment a problem? Are factory orders a problem? Does China need the U.S. again to be a trading partner and not an adversary? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. There's a number of different kind of cross currents in China for sure. Number one, you see a reopening, which is good, but you're also seeing more and more businesses starting to decouple from China. As a perfect example, Apple is moving very large pieces of their assembly infrastructure out of China and into India. So the challenges with COVID, the challenges with government policy there are not making China the first choice for many of the global companies. They're moving assets out of China. In combination to that, you have global reports of between 25 and 35% drop in shipping containers coming out of China. So it's clear that the economy has slowed, more reports of layoffs and disruptions around that. And probably most importantly, in watching some of the traditional CCP mouthpiece publications like People's Daily, you see the Chinese government reassuring Chinese citizens that everything's fine, nothing to see here, by showing in the newspaper pictures of how busy the ports are. You'd never see that in the last several years within the Chinese infrastructure. It was just an assumed. But if they're having to take satellite pictures and show the population, we're really busy, the hypothesis would be they're not really busy and there's a problem there.
The commodities, I watch them now and again because they spiked during the early stages of the war in Europe and have settled down over these last months because there wasn't the demand associated with China reopening. Momentarily, I've watched copper prices go up, which I'm told is one way to talk about China reopening. Now, the question of reopening where and how, you're talking about consumer goods. Do we have an understanding of China's employment situation or its property bubble or the trouble that is caused by its confrontation over the South China Sea, over Hong Kong, over Himalaya, are those all separate matters in China, or do those all integrate into the question of reopen?
Yeah, I believe they're interconnected. And within the interconnection, you have several key points. One, the property crisis continues unabated. The government's thrown a lot of money at it, but it's still a problem where many Chinese have invested their life savings in apartments that don't exist. And that's still not been solved. It's just been kicked that can down the road. The second is the increasing pressure of the chip war between China and the United States. So the Biden administration has been successful in preventing any advanced chip manufacturing technology now from going to China in the future. And they're slowly choking the tech industry in China to be able to not manufacture advanced chips at all, and even some of the standard, more commoditized chips you'll have trouble making in China. And then the third being, if you look at China as a manufacturing center, but devoid of natural resource per se, other than human capital, if you look at the imports from Australia, for things like iron and steel and other, the base materials to make that, you're seeing imports continue to be low. So there's certainly a problem, no matter how they try to present it back. There are enough external factors to be able to triangulate around the truth that things are not well.
China needs the U.S. as a customer. China needs the U.S. as an investor. That was said to be the explanation for the sudden charm offensive, which was momentarily called off over the balloon episode. I believe that China's foreign ministry accused the United States of being, let me see if I can connect it correctly, a habitual criminal surveillance empire. That's not charming. But in any event, is it your information that China still wants the American and European investor to return to China, that they still seek opportunities in selling to America, or has that changed since the confrontation?
No, absolutely. I think China has learned is learning the very hard lesson that while the Chinese will continue to ascend globally in power and influence, they're not yet ready to cut the cord. The economy in China is still principally an export-driven economy, and sending surveillance balloons over your biggest customer is probably not a great idea. So within that, will the Chinese be able to sever from the global economy and succeed? Absolutely not. It's probably 20 years too early for that. Some point in the future, maybe. But looking at the microchip restrictions on manufacturing technology going in, it becomes increasingly clear to those in power that they have to be part of that global economy. They cannot just sever off and be successful.
The American economy, the rolling recession metaphor, soft landing, hard landing, no landing, those metaphors. You do B2B business in America. You also see the franchises and their business. Is the rolling recession evident with these big job numbers, hirings, these low unemployment numbers, and this retail number? Can you see the recession?
The recession is still there. It's just very spotty. It could be new home building starts way down. It could be the continued inflation. What we see in many of the small to medium sized businesses is that as the cost of capital has continued to increase, those companies in service businesses, primarily QSR, hospitality, hotel, they're big sectors of that market that were heavily damaged by the COVID pandemic and the economic challenges there. And now they're taking the double whammy of high borrowing and credit costs. So you're seeing mass failures specifically in the hotel and hospitality sector that have never been seen at this scale before of businesses that are no longer viable or cannot maintain their required credit limits or credit terms with their banks and are having to close.
There's talk that the Federal Reserve meeting in March will entertain not a quarter point increase that was already announced, but a half a point increase. Now, that's monetary policy, and it takes a long time to make major changes in the price of things, the cost of living, a long time. So, again, you've been very good these last years to estimate when recovery and how recovery. Are we looking at full recovery now into 2024, no longer 2023?
So, John, the external factor would be what the federal government does relative to the election cycle. So today, on an organic basis, very large businesses are doing pretty well, continuing to trim staff and tighten down to be able to sustain a recession. small and medium sized businesses getting hit pretty hard. The question will be, will the government flow additional capital into the marketplace and try to use that politically for the upcoming presidential election or not? If there's not a big influx of capital, 23 remains choppy. 24 is probably not good. You'd be looking at early 25 at best. If the government throws money at the problem, you may be able to get an election bump relative to a resurgence.
And the war in Europe is the unknown. Is that a way to put it? Nobody knows the future in Ukraine.
The war in Europe continues to choke out the German economy bit by bit. And unless you have resolution of that conflict, the economic waves that will continue to propagate throughout Europe will have European GDPs off materially, because that cost and problem of energy as it ties to manufacturing, is there's no solve for that currently.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. The news from the Federal Reserve, awaited very carefully by everyone now, given the new number of the producer price index, are surprisingly higher than expected. This is CBS Eye on the World, the Scala Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,